Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. To the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So far, sermon text. Be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is our portion, and therefore we need no more, dear fellow redeemed. How deserted lies the city once so full of people. With that sorrowful statement, Jeremiah begins his lament over the destroyed city of Jerusalem. This book is what its name means, a lament, a song of sorrow and woe and mourning. Jeremiah spent most of his life warning the people of Judah against the coming judgment. Unfortunately, most of the people didn't listen to his warning. Well, the judgment came. The Babylonians swooped down upon the people of Judah, leveled the city of Jerusalem, carried off most of the people, and left behind a few herdsmen, a few farmers, and Jeremiah. With the fiery, smoky ruins of that once glorious, beautiful city of God now lying there before Jeremiah's tear-stained eyes, Jeremiah writes these words of mourning. Yet out of this bleak, seemingly hopeless, discouraging situation, Jeremiah lays before us words that are a beacon of hope. They're not just mournful words, sorrowful words without hope. In fact, the words of our text this morning are words of sure mercy, the only source of comfort when we are going through suffering. But these words are not for all. These words are only for those who can say from the heart, "The Lord is my portion." A portion is a share or a part of the whole. In the olden days, the soldiers would receive a portion of the spoils in victory. Today we have a saying that's much like that: a piece of the pie or a piece of the action. Today, everybody wants to make sure that they get their piece of the pie. Employees want to make sure they get a piece of their employer's pie. Unions want to make sure that they get a piece of the management's or the organization's piece of the pie. And states and cities and the government wants to make sure they get a piece of the worker's pie through taxes. In many cases, the piece gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Today, we live in a world of organized greed. In fact, in most cases, from little on, we're taught by society and our own flesh, we deserve our piece of the pie. Our piece of the action is owed to us. It's something that we've merited. And instead of repressing the lusts and desires, most people want their portion, their piece, their share every single day. Who or how many think of the Lord as their portion? We pray that in this me world that we live in, the Holy Spirit leads us to be able to say, together with Jeremiah, "The Lord is my portion. says my soul. And if we're able to say that, then our first point this morning is we'll experience a daily refreshing newness of the Lord's mercies. We read again the first two verses of our sermon text. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As we've heard for the last 2 weeks, Jeremiah proclaimed over and over and over again that God's judgment was coming, and it came. Judah was destroyed, Jerusalem leveled, but a remnant was spared. Why? Was it because God saw a flicker of righteousness in the people that were left behind? He saw a glimmer of goodness that merited their being spared from annihilation? No. Jeremiah tells us the cause. The reason was not in him or in the people. The reason was in the Lord's faithfulness. He was faithful to his promise. That covenant, that contract we talked about last Sunday. The covenant of the gospel. Promise of salvation. We need to look more deeply into two words in this first portion of our text. The two words mercies and compassions. You notice that both of them are in the plural. We don't usually say that too much. We say compassion, but it's compassions and mercies. The word mercy literally means loving kindness, favor, pity, unselfish, self-forgetting love. And since it's in the plural, it denotes a showing forth of this love and this pity on a daily basis. It's evidence to all. The word compassion means kindness or sympathy. It expresses a deep and tender feeling of love that's aroused by seeing someone helpless or seeing someone who is weak. This word is used when someone expresses such a love, especially toward those who are destitute, those who've lost everything, those who are helpless. Such was Jeremiah. Such was the people of his day. And such are we. God's mercies and compassions are motivated by himself, by his faithfulness. And this being true, then we are sure that mercy and compassion will never fail, because God's faithfulness is everlasting. God's unselfish, loving consideration of each one of us, God's pity for the suffering, the afflicted, the helpless among us, is not due to any merit or worthiness on our part. It's due only to his faithfulness. And what a relief that is. Let's just stop for a moment and think about what this means in our life. It is really contrary to what the world thinks. Our world today is security conscious. We want economic security. High on the list is job security. We need to have that paycheck every week. People are clamoring for security and peace in wartime, so they trust in the government. People are health conscious, so we gobble up health insurance. We want to make sure we're safe from disasters and calamities, so we have house insurance and we insure all of our belongings. We're a mobile society, so we get automobile insurance. We know we're not going to live forever, and so we want to make sure we have the secure life for our loved ones up behind, so we get life insurance. In fact, for most people, the greatest insurance in life is insurance or trust in their government. And what's the effect of all of this? Trust in the things of this life, insurance and government power? Very often it takes the place of God. What do we need God for if we've got insurance is all paid up? What do we need God for if our government takes care of us, provides for us? It's so easy to make idols out of these things. We have peace of mind if we have a piece of the rock, the small r. So many fall into the trap of believing that God's unable to take care of our daily needs. We can only turn to him in the extremest of times, like when we're facing death. Jeremiah did not seek an insurance policy. that would guarantee protection against divine judgments. But he knew of one, the Lord himself. And that's what he proclaimed. That's what every preacher today also proclaims. There is security, real security, for this life and for eternity alone in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Having a piece of the rock of ages through faith. Our Savior's loving kindness, his tender mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Every one of us here has lived a longer or shorter number of years in this life. We've all faced trials, tribulations, discouragements, difficulties, disappointments, maybe even some of us, disasters. We've all survived. Why? Was it fate? Chance? Luck? Knock on wood? No, the Lord. His mercies, his compassions upon me, upon you, upon every single one of us, every day of our lives that we've lived on this earth. Have we deserved this? How dare we even ask? Every morning we wake up to another day of sin. Our hearts and minds are filled with sinful thoughts. Our lips and mouths speak sinful words. Our bodies commit sinful actions. All because we have a spiritually deadly, cancerous growth inside of every single one of us. And that's our heart, filled with sin. We cannot minimize this. Even as believers, we know that how powerful our sinful flesh is in every one of our lives. How many of us don't struggle with the same sin over and over again? Some particular sin. We plead to the Lord to help us conquer that sin. And he gives us the strength, but we just fail to grab hold of it. We need to say the same thing Paul did and admit, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." What can we do? Is all hopeless? We only cry out with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the only answer? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God took care of our greatest needs some 2,000 years ago when he sent his Son to take our place as our substitute. When he fulfilled that covenant vow that he says, "I will remember your sins no more." Jesus came and saved us from our real eternal disasters and dangers of sin and death and hell by conquering the ruler of this world, Satan. Through his death and resurrection, he paid for the full guilt and punishment of every single one of our sins. That's why our Heavenly Father can say, "I remember your sins no more." Every single one of them has been paid for in full through his cross of pain and his suffering of hell. Jesus met that punishment of God, fulfilled his justice, paid for our sins, and that's why Jeremiah declares in our text, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That's the insurance that we have when we can say, "The Lord is my portion." And secondly, Jeremiah says, when you can say the Lord is your portion, then learn to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. await salvation. Three very important words in the second portion of our sermon text. Hope. When the Lord is our portion, our hope is placed in Him. Not just an aimless hope, but a hope that's of assurance, a confident trust that the Lord is our deliverer and our salvation. Remember what Jeremiah's going through. He's sitting there watching Jerusalem burn to the ground. He's seen all of his fellow Israelites carried into captivity. It looks hopeless. And yet his hope is in the Lord as his Savior and his deliverer. And he says, wait. When things are falling down around you, everything's collapsing, usually people get pretty agitated. They start screaming in panic and fear and pain. But Jeremiah says, wait. Wait quietly. Picture again the dreary condition that Jeremiah was seeing. Yes, he was writing words of mourning, words of repentance and sorrow, but he was quietly, patiently waiting for the salvation, the deliverance, not from just this judgment, from eternal judgment into everlasting life. What does God say in Psalm 46? Be still, be at peace, be quiet, and know that I am God. Such patient waiting is a mark of one whose portion is the Lord. Rather than grumble and complain about our lot in life, rather than wring our hands with fret and worry about our financial, physical, and emotional problems in life, may we learn to patiently wait upon the Lord's mercies and His compassions to be showered upon us daily. May we all learn to bear our crosses and suffer our losses in quiet submission, humbly bowing to our Lord's will and trusting our Savior, even against enormous odds. The Lord is my portion. That's the key to living in Christ and living for Christ. Our total effort as a congregation is so to preach and teach and conduct ourselves from the littlest to the oldest in our congregation to be able to say, even in the face of disasters and calamities and trials and tribulations, all is well. The Lord is my portion. Jesus is my Savior. He paid for all of my sins. The Lord gave His life for me so that I have been saved from death. The Lord is my provider, my protector, my insurance against the threats and dangers and problems of this world. The Lord is my hope and my salvation. When changing circumstances and also devastating situations come upon us and blur our focus, that's when we need to look even more intently upon those nail-pierced hands of the Father's Son whom He loves so much. How can a Father who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God's mercies and compassion will see us through and carry us along day after day after day through the good times and the evil days, for God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Our future is assured from the cradle to the grave, to the empty tomb, to our eternal home. Great is our God's faithfulness. Amen.